For some reason, it still surprises me how God puts stuff together. I don't know why. I can't cease to be amazed. When we start singing about words like shield and rock and hope, and I haven't said anything to Felicia about what I'm preaching on. She just picked those songs. And we talk about Christ being enough, and we talk about making declarations. We're talking today about what it means to declare something, to make a declaration. I don't know if you know, but we live in the age of declaration. Everybody wants to make a statement that nobody can mess with. Have you noticed that? We all want to be on the side of right and the side of truth and the side of yes and not the side of no. And we all want to say, I make this declaration and you can't touch it. Have you noticed how discussions, you can't even have discussions anymore? There's no middle ground for anything because everybody is either over here or over here. And if I'm over here and you're not over there, something is wrong with you. Like even friendships are kind of like we can't have any kind of centrist, nuanced discussions about anything. It's weird because everybody just wants to have what's real and to have the truth and just go, I declare this. You ever played the, this is dumb, but bear with me. There used to be a game and it might still be real, but then again, I'm from the South and we were bored and didn't have a lot of money. So what you would do would be, you would grab hands with somebody and you'd say, 1, 2, 3, 4, I declare a thumb war. And then for the next few minutes, you would try to get your thumb on top of the other person's thumb and hold it down, which was in somehow a mark of dominance. I don't know how that was supposed to work. Really, it was just kind of luck because somebody's wrist would get tired, but you just wanted to be like, yeah, I'm the man. And then you would like play it with a parent and they would always win. It was just annoying. Or somebody would cheat and use their finger and pin you that way. What was that about? We just want to make this statement, this declaration of this is true and this is not true. I declare this. I declare. Everybody wants their voice. We just want to have this declaration. What's interesting to me is that I'm listening to my faith culture. I'm always listening. I'm always out there. If you're not out there, and listen, I know you've got a lot of responsibilities, but I say this to you often. If Sunday morning from 11 to 12, 30, 45-ish, if Sunday morning for an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes is really what you get during the week, I would just encourage you, man, get outside of this box. Get out there and begin to, well, I don't know who to listen to. Shop around. I'm sorry to tell you that. Shop around. I can give you some names. If you want to know who I listen to, I can tell you who I listen to. And I look for people on both ends of the spectrum. I look for those guys who are just so excited about and passionate about life that sometimes you have no idea what their sermon meant. They just preached really hard and they were so excited and there was a lot of sweat and spit. And then at the end of it, you're like, that was great. I have no idea what you said, but that was great. And I also listen to a guy who is sedate and calm as he can possibly be. It's almost totally academic, but not quite. Do you know what I mean? I listen to those folks. And I listen to my culture. I listen to Christian music. Number one, because I like it. Number two, because it helps me focus. And number three, because I want to hear what we're singing about. I don't know if you've noticed, it seems like the culture of Christianity is being challenged by the world and really the experiences that it's having to make provable declarations of truth about God. If you listen, it's very interesting how songs have gone from declaring things about God, and they're not bad. I listen to it all. Hymns, if you go back, I know I just said the H word, settle down, nobody come for me. If you go back to hymns, there's a lot of hymns that just says, this is true about God. He is holy. He is righteous. He is salvation. They are just declarations. And now we kind of sing ballads to Jesus. I'm not mad at that. I want Jesus to know that I'm in love with him. Like for real, you know, not like I want to pick out curtains kind of way, but like man to man, I love you, man, because you died for me. We kind of sing love songs to Jesus, and that's not a bad thing, but that's not the only preaching culture. It's interesting what's happening with preaching culture. We're on that spectrum just like everything else has become polarized. Over here, you're going to burn. You don't deserve it. You try to earn it. You should probably try to earn it. Do the best that you can. Watch out. You can lose your salvation like your car keys. Got to be careful over here. You can burn. You can trip and fall into hell. Just one day, oh, I walked outside, I was unclean in my faith, I got hit by a bus, boom, hell. That's terrifying for me because that says that it's all on me. And then over here, you've got it doesn't matter because there's grace and mercy for everything. And if you live your whole life apart from God, but just really think you're saved because you're a good person. And that's kind of where preaching is falling. It's like even pastors are beginning to struggle to get people to believe the truths, the provable declarations about God. Preaching has become, and listen, y'all know I'm a nerd for the word. I'm a word nerd. I love to know where the words come from and what they really mean and what was really happening in that time. And preaching can become very academic. It can become more academia than exposition. It can become more catchphrases and idiomatic expressions than declarations of truth. And I'm guilty of it because I want you to take home something peppy, something snappy, something you can just, I want a snapshot of truth to go home with. And you can be like, this is true and this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm rhyming a lot today and I don't mean that. I'm sorry. If we're not careful, we begin to lose the substance of God because we're out here in the periphery going, and I think it's because we're challenged, because the world keeps coming to us saying, prove it. And we keep saying, I can't. I know it's true for me. I live my life in a certain way, but I cannot point down to a certain house on a certain street and say Jesus lives there. I can't, like, show you the Holy Spirit. I can't point to the, I can't, you know, I can pray that God will show up, and he doesn't. He doesn't, like, theophanize, that's the word. He doesn't just suddenly God and then, like, I'm here. He doesn't do the check-in thing with me. And then our own experiences are saying, okay, some of our brains are going, some of what you've been taught is not holding up. I'm wondering if you really know what's true. It's our own brains. I wonder if you really know what's true about God. Our emotions are going, if God is real, why do I feel this way? Like it's everything within us. The sin nature that we have is just trying to say, are you sure that's okay? Are you sure that's right? Are you sure you can declare with ultimate truth and with total confidence that, can you declare anything about God and know that it's 100% yes? Is there anything that you can say about God that you know is 100% true? I'm having conversations with people all the time who are struggling to understand what they can firmly believe about God. What can I declare? How do I not just kind of fall back on if your will? There's nothing wrong with praying the will of God. I think when you pray the will of God, you're in the will of God. I think that that's a good place to be. But so often, sometimes, I think we get confused and we just kind of fall back on that. Like, I don't know what it's safe to say is I can, what can I say about God and be like, you are this? Because that's spooky. You're going to tell God he's something? What if you pick wrong? Like, what if the adjective doesn't quite match? I mean, what does that, mean then you walk outside, get hit by a bus and go to hell because you called God the wrong thing? Like, what does that mean? What can I say to God? You are this. Even when I'm just praising and worshiping, what can I say? You are holy. I don't know what that means. You are righteous. You are helpful. You're not helpful. You always come to, no, I don't want to say always. You never, I'm not sure that's true either. Like, we get to this weird place where the very foundation that we stand on starts to feel shaky. I want you to listen to this song. I know, just bear with me. I'm not trying to get hipster on you. Just listen to the song, and I want you to see if you can pick out what the artist is declaring about God. when you listen to that song? Do you hear scripture? I hope you do. I hope you're scripture, because there's no equivocation in that message. Do you understand? There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I want to talk about what you heard. I want to talk about some of the truths, because what this artist talks about is simply the truth of scripture. Be my strength, O God. That's a desire that we have. But he's not saying, if you can. Did you hear if? He just said, be it. He just declared, be my strength. I'm going to talk to you a lot from Psalms, because David was a guy who understood. If David understood the challenges even that we face today, that guy understood it. If anybody did from the Word, that guy did. Have you ever prayed for something? Have you ever hoped for something? Have you ever expected for something for 10 years? How many of you are praying for something and it's 10 years old? I'm not kidding. Yep. That's hard, isn't it? When week one goes by, that's hard. When month one goes by, are you kidding me? Now we're talking about years. Now we're talking about a decade of time, and you're still praying. David understood what it was like. It was declared over him that he would be king, and 10 years later, he's still running for his life daily. David understood, and it was David who said in Psalm 18, verse 1, if you take notes, please don't get frustrated. A lot of scripture coming your way. Psalm 18, verse 1 says this, I love you, Lord, my strength. David said, I love you, my strength. Not please be my strength, not would you be my strength. I love you, Lord, my strength. You are my strength. Psalm 28, 7 and 8 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of strength for his anointed one. You want truth? You want a declaration? The Lord is your strength. You can declare that. You don't have to wonder if that's true. You don't have to hope that that's true. And please don't let your feelings tell you that it's not. I don't feel strong today, but he is my strength. I don't know. I'm not seeing what I need to see, but he is my strength. I'm going through something and it just doesn't seem to go away, but he is my strength. You can declare that over your life. God is your strength. Light my way. What an interesting, not even question. God just light my, be my light. Psalm 119, 105 says, and a lot of you will be familiar with this, the word, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. Is, not shall be, not might be, not will be, not one day. Your word, and by the way, that word, word, means two things. It means both his scripture and also his son. Your word, your scripture is a lamp unto my feet, and so is your son, Jesus. When it is dark, Jesus lights my way. When it is dark, when I'm having trouble finding you, your word lights my path. If I'm lost, I can get into the word, and please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that tomorrow, if you have a decision to make, you're going to go in the scripture, and that decision, it's going to be in there. Hezekiah 19:5 is going to say, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt buy that new car. I can't promise you that. I don't think that that's going to happen, but I can tell you that when you wander in the darkness, Jesus himself can be your light. He is my light. You can declare that in Jesus' name. You don't have to hope. You don't have to wonder. Be my present help. Not is he my present help, not I hope that he is. This is Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Why the mountains? If you know anything about battle, then you understand that the high ground always wins. I can't explain that to you. I don't understand why that works, but I can tell you that whoever has the high ground has the advantage in any type and kind of battle. And especially back before there were smart bombs and smart missiles and guns, if all you had was something sharp or something heavy and blunt, and you wanted to take advantage of whoever was coming against you, if you took the high ground, you had the advantage. And you won almost every time. That's why he says, I look to the hills, because I know my God has the high ground in any and every situation that I face. He has the advantage. Nobody has an advantage over him. Doesn't matter if you're in the valley. If you will lift your eyes, you will see God with the advantage coming to your aid. You want to declare something in your life? He is my help in this present moment. But I don't feel that way. The word says that the heart above all else is deceitful. Stop allowing your emotions to undermine your faith. Stop. But my brain tells me that there's no help coming. Your brain is a mess. Your brain is it's a mess in there. I am so grateful that you can't see or hear what I think, because y'all be like, we have to find another church now, because he's nuts. Your brain is a mess. We've got to stop worshiping our own intellectual understanding. We can't let our understanding of the situation be our God. If your understanding is not helpful, then let God be your help, because he has the high ground in any and every situation. Lead me to the rock. What an interesting thing. When I'm overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. That's Psalm 61, verse 2. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. You ever been there? You ever felt like God was on the other side of the world? You ever wanted to say, look, I know they got it rough in China, but I need you to come back my way. I know they're challenged over there in Europe, but could you scoot back over this way? I mean, I know the mid-Atlantic region is not the greatest. California's nicer, but could you come over here? Have you ever felt to the other ends of the earth in your relationship with God? As my heart grows faint, have you ever just, the light of your faith is just, it's dimming and dimming and dimming, and it's down to a flicker. And then David says this, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's very interesting, because that rock represents two things. Number one, it represents some foundation, some stability. Bring me to something that I can stand on that doesn't move. I need some balance here. The rock that is higher than I, why? Because it lifts me up above my circumstances so I can get perspective. David doesn't just say, bring me to random rock over here. He says, bring me to the rock that is higher than me. I don't just want a firm foundation, although that's important. I want something to lift me up out of the challenge so that I can see what's going on and I can get some perspective. Lead me to the rock. You're my God. Here's the thing. If we're not careful, he goes from being my God to just God. It seems like semantics, doesn't it? I mean, God is God, right? But if he's not personal to you, if he's not yours, listen, you're his. The word tells us that he is jealous for you. We get those words confused all the time. Envy means wanting something someone else has. Jealousy means you're afraid somebody's going to take what you got. I'm going to be careful here. If you've ever been in a romantic relationship and your significant other seems to give more attention to a person over here and the kind of attention you're not comfortable with, what you felt in that moment was not envy. What you felt in that moment was jealousy, because you thought that person might take what's mine. That's interesting, because God feels that way about you. He will not share you with anybody else. He is not interested in you putting your faith anywhere else, getting your hope from anywhere else, or expecting happiness to come to you from any other avenue. He wants you. You are his, and he paid a price for you. So it is safe to say and declare, he's my God. He's my God. He's mine. He paid the price so that I could be with him. No gaps, no curtain in between me and him. No priest that I have to go to. No offense to anybody or your faith background. There's no intermediary between me and God. I can go right to the throne. He's mine. You want something to declare in your life? He is my God. He's not just God, and I have to find some way to please the great punisher. He's my God. I declare that in Jesus' name. He is mine and I am his. Lots of declarations in that song. These are truths about God that are unshakable, because they're not my words, that's scripture. And they don't just come from people that we can't connect with. The majority of what I've read to you comes from David, who knew trouble. He didn't know my kind of trouble, Pastor. He didn't have credit. You're absolutely right. He didn't know what it was like to try to rebuild his credit. He wasn't inches away from declaring bankruptcy. But that dude never spent the night in the same place twice. See, you don't get that. You don't get that from Psalms. You don't understand that he had to constantly travel because the king at the time wanted to kill him. He had hired every mercenary miles around. He wanted David dead. He wanted him dead. At least you get to go home to the same spot every night. Jesus said, the foxes have their holes and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. You may be challenged, but you're not that challenged. And the one that I forgot to add up here is be my peace. Because you heard that, didn't you? Didn't you hear the artist say, be my peace? Not be my peace if you're willing. God, if it's in your will. It is his will to be your peace. This is how I know, and this is the one that you should pay the most attention to, because David is a human being after all. Yes, we are all fallible. It was just David talking. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I dare you to come for me now. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 26 and 27, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Now you've heard that lots, yeah? If you've ever been in church for, I mean, even a minute, you've probably heard, my peace I leave you. If you have Catholicism as a tradition, they're big time into that. And I so appreciate that about the Catholic tradition, because they are all about bringing the peace of God into our lives. We probably don't do it enough. We probably forget that he's the author of that. But I wonder if you've ever made the connection between what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit and what he says about himself. When he says, my peace, he just said, but the Holy Spirit, I'm going to send. I'm going to send in my name, the Holy Spirit I'm going to send. Then he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. He's not talking about the human feeling that he has as a human man. He's saying, I'm leaving myself to live in you. The Holy Spirit, the author of peace, is your peace. That's the peace that I'm leaving with you. You don't have to summon it. You don't have to drum it up. If you love God through a relationship with Jesus, then the Spirit, the author of peace, lives within you. You literally are a container of God's peace. You are a walking vessel of God's peace. But I don't feel that way. Oh, declare this in Jesus' name. Heart, you are a liar. I have peace in Jesus' name. I am a container of the vessel of the Holy Spirit. I am a temple for peace. I declare, you can declare that he is your peace because he lives in you. That's not my words. That's Jesus saying, my peace I leave you, not as the world gives, and thank God for that. Because worldly peace is dependent on anything and everything else. Worldly peace depends on the health and success of your relationships. Worldly peace depends on whether or not you fall on some different spectrum and whether you're mentally healthy or not. Worldly peace depends on your bank account, your ability to earn, your ability to prove your worth, your ability to be a worthy person. Worldly peace depends on everything except anything that's constant or significant or foundationally true. Be my peace. Declare that over your life. He is my peace. His peace lives in me. My heart is deceitful. My mind is a mess. The devil is a liar. He is my peace. And then if you were listening closely, there were these truths that the artist speaks, these declarations that he makes. And then there's a response. Did you catch that? This is not a truth about God. This is not even true about us. My peace, my rock, my strength, my light, my help, I will worship you always. If these things are true, and they're true because they come, listen, I'm not pulling this out of anywhere other than directly out of Scripture and out of the Word. That's how I know I can say what I'm saying today and stand on it firmly. This is not an expression that I want you to take home with you. I didn't look up some great way to encourage you this morning. I just went to the Word and looked for what it says to be true about God. If these things are true, if he's your God, then you can worship him always. That's such a painful word. I will worship you when I feel good. I will worship you when I pass that test. I will worship you when I find my husband. You're my God. I will worship you when my child gets saved. I will worship you when you pay my bills. I will worship you. No matter what, you're my God. If these things are true for you, then you can worship him always. Declare and then respond. Declare. A declaration without response is just words. A declaration without response is just words. You don't have to jump through hoops. You just have to believe and you worship, and that's it. I don't have anything pithy to give you today. I've done enough rhyming. I just want you to know what is true about God. And I want you to take that and build on that. Because those things don't come from your pastor, they come from God's word. Build on those things. Father, I'm asking that in this moment you begin to wash away some of our insecurities and some of our instability. I pray, God, that we would begin to see you. I pray, Father, we would be driven to your word to know what is true about you. There are some things, Lord, that don't make a ton of sense, and some things you have intentionally left us on our own to try to muddle through. You never said you would leave us without tension and without friction in this world. I mean, you said the kingdom of heaven is coming, but it's also within us. How are we supposed to live with that? You said that we're blessed when we're persecuted. You said that when we're mourning, we're blessed. You said that when we're broken, we're blessed. There's a lot of tension and a lot of friction that comes out of your word, but there are things that are true about you that this world cannot convince us of otherwise, if we won't let it. I don't know what's happening to your body, God. I'm not sure what's happening to the culture of true Christianity, because we're sort of beginning to get kind of wishy-washy on what we will declare is true, because the world wants us to prove it, and because sometimes our own lives tell us that maybe it's not true. These things are true. You are our help. You are our light. You are our strength. You are our peace. You are our rock that we can stand on. And you are our God. You are my God. And I will worship you always. I will worship you because of what I know to be true. My circumstances are not my truth. My feelings are not my truth. My challenges are not my truth. You are true. You are true. And I stand on that. And because I stand on that, I can worship you always, no matter what is occurring. God, I'm asking for anybody out there who's in darkness that you would be their light. I pray that they would declare over themselves right now, you are my light. I pray for anybody who's out there doing it by themselves. They are doing life under their own strength. God, I pray in Jesus' name they would relax and they would declare over their own lives, you are my strength. I pray, Father, anybody who's out there in trouble, that you would be their help, that they would declare, you are my help. I pray, Father, anybody who feels overwhelmed, that you would be their rock, they would stand on you, and that you would lift them up above the top of their challenge so that they could see, they could have perspective that this too will pass. And through it, you are building something within them. You are building strength. You are building character. You are building resolve. You are building resilience. It hurts, but on the other side of it, you are bigger and you are greater in them than you were before this. And Father, I pray if there's anybody out there that is still far from you, anybody who sees you as simply God, as simply the God, but not their God, I pray in this moment that you would come so close to them. God, I pray that you would crowd them right now where they sit with your presence. I pray, Father, that you would be so close they would be forced to admit that you belong to them and they belong to you. You are my God. Leave here today, Father, I pray that we would have more to stand on than when we came in. When we leave here today, God, I pray that we would be less confused and less uncertain and more secure and more assured of who you are and what we can stand on and what we can declare in our own lives. And I pray, God, that today just creates that seed of desire to know you. May we go to our word and discover what we can say with great courage, with great confidence, with great assurance about you in our lives. I pray for your body, the church. I pray, God, that there would be men and women who would begin to stand up on the truth of who you are. I pray, Father, that we wouldn't be so academic in the things that we preach. I pray, God, we wouldn't be so needy to send people home with some kind of alliterative statement that they can repeat over and over to themselves. I pray, God, what happens in your body is that the word comes to life more and more. There would be greater understanding. There would be greater discernment and greater wisdom so that we could apply what we know to be true about you to our lives. Pray, Father, that what the world would need to see to be true about you, they would see in us. That's a big ask, God, and I know it. I know that's a big ask. That's a big one, because that means that we have to live differently. That means that our lives have to look differently. That means we have to speak differently. That means we have to love differently. That means we have to act differently. That means we have to be different. But I pray, Father, as we cement the foundation of who you are in our lives, that would give us the courage to stand out in a way that shows this world everything that they're looking for. Because everything that they need is within us. The Spirit of life, the author of hope, the one who came and gave his life so that we could all be saved. I love you, God, and I thank you so much. I pray that you would clear a path for your truth in our lives, that we would reconnect to you and reprioritize you and your word above all else in our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning.